Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and today we're in our study of Revelation Part 2, and we're on Lesson 11 that will include chapters 19 and 20. So let us begin our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will guide our minds and teach us through your Holy Spirit. Give us knowledge and wisdom of your truths, Father, that we may glorify your great name. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, looking back, as we always do, in kind of review, as we go through our study each time, we want to look at 1 through 3. John saw Jesus, and the messages were given to write to the seven churches. And then in chapters 4 through 16, John saw the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And then in chapter 17 through 20, John saw judgment of the harlot and also a 1,000-year period and judgment of the dead. And then in verses 21 through 22, we'll be studying about how John saw the Lamb's bride, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. And our study today starts with chapter 19. And this chapter is about the Lamb's marriage supper, the Lord's coming, and the God's great supper. So I'll read the first 5 verses, and then we'll discuss those. And this is the fourfold hallelujah. Verse 1, chapter 19. After these things, I heard something like a loud cloud of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worship God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Now, as we finished, it says, after these things, that was after we studied about the judgment coming upon the great harlot, Babylon. And so here we see in this study, they are praising God because of his judgments that came upon her. And he judged that great harlot that was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he avenged the blood of the saints. And so God's judgment then brings a vengeance to the blood of the bondservants. And the scene here is God's throne in heaven again. And this time a worship is praise for his reign, for God's reign. So let's go now to verse 6 through 10. And then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And then in the next verses, 7 through 10, we see the marriage of the Lamb. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9, Then he said to me, Write, speaking to John, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Lamb being Jesus. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Then I, John, fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here we see in the past verses, verse 11 through these verses, verse 6 through 10, that John heard more praise in heaven, and it was announcing the praise of the marriage of the Lamb, saying that the Lamb has come, saying that Jesus has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Now we know that Jesus' bride is the church. It's all believers. And then it says that her clothes are the righteous acts. So it is their deeds, these believers, this bride of Christ, her clothes that are white are their righteous deeds. And looking back at Revelation 3, verse 5, Jesus' message to the church at Sardis, and he said to them at Sardis in the letter, that those that overcome, that were overcomers, will be clothed in white garments. So this is what is taking place now in heaven. These saints that are there worshiping and praising God, and they have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that is to Jesus' supper. All believers. Now then, let's look further at the coming of Christ. And we'll see that in verse 11 through 16. 11, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nation, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And verse 16 says, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So now we're seeing a white horse here in heaven. Remember, we studied in the past chapters about the horses that were coming, and each one represented something different. But this time, we see a white horse, and it represents the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is called Faithful and True. He is called the Word of God. And he is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, like the rider on the white horse at the first seal, the King of Kings comes conquering, and he judges and makes war in righteousness, and he battles those gathered at the sixth bowl, the beast, the false prophet, the ten kings, and the kings of the earth. So we see now that Jesus is coming. This is taking place, and it says here that and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Now, who is this, these armies that are following him? They are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we just studied in the previous verses that the overcomers were clothed in white garment. So this is all overcomers. This is all believers that will be coming with him, riding also on white horses. Now let's go on and look at verses 17 through 21, and this is in chapter 19. So let's see what happens next. Verse 17, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him, Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. Now then, in verse 20, we'll see the doom of this beast and the false prophet. Verse 20 says, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had followed the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him, Jesus, who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So here we see that the beast and the false prophet have deceived or deceives those who dwell on the earth to believe that no one can successfully war against the beast and all of those on earth that took the mark worshiped him. But the beast and the false prophet are captured, and here we see their throne in the lake of fire. And the rest were killed with a sword, and the sword represents the word of God, the word of Jesus. Jesus himself is the word, and the birds eat their flesh at the great supper of God. Now you have to remember, as we are studying the book of Revelation, there are lots of signs and symbols. So you have to really study, and you have to do a lot of word search to see what these words represent here in the context of these verses. But we're going forward today now into chapter 20, and we're going to read the first 10 verses, and in these verses we'll see what happened after this war, starting with verse 1. And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it up and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. And then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And verse 5 says, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So I'm going to go on. That is verse 6, and look at 7 through 10. In these verses, we see that Satan is freed, but he's doomed, because verse 7 says, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, here we see that an angel binds the devil in verses 1 through 10, and it throws him into the abyss. That's the bottomless pit. And he is held there for 1,000 years. And then during 1,000 years, he is not able to deceive the nations. Now, souls who don't take the mark are resurrected, and they reign with Christ during 1,000 years. And then after 1,000 years, the devil is released, and he deceives the nations again. And he gathers them again to the beloved city, Jerusalem, to fight against Christ. And fire comes from heaven and consumes them. And the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. So here we see then that this time that it's relating to is relating to the time when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom and reigns 1,000 years. And the devil, of course, is thrown into the abyss for that time. And then he is released for a short time. And in that time, it says, souls who don't take the mark are resurrected and reign with Christ. And then after he is released, he again, for a short period, deceives the nations, and he brings them together in the city of Jerusalem to fight against Christ. And that's when God sends fire from heaven and consumes them. And then the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. Now let's go forward in 11 through 15 of chapter 20 and see what the rest of our study is about. Here we see in 11 through 15 that the judgment comes at the great white throne. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw John," remember he's the one that is given this vision, "Then I, John, saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I, John, saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So here we see in these verses, it's after 1,000 years when Christ rules, and it's right after the heaven and earth are gone. And at this time, only the dead, those spiritually dead, unbelievers are judged. It's the judgment of unbelievers. This judgment is according to the deeds, and that their deeds have been recorded in the books, it says, where God records those deeds. Now, let's look at some cross-reference scriptures as we study this and see some of the things that tells us about those that will face this judgment. Going to Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." So when he comes, he will bring the rewards according to what a person has done. That would be to the righteous. Now in Romans, let's look at the reference we see there in verses 5 through 11. So, reading with verse 5, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor in immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." Now, here we see in these verses, is speaking of the unrepentant and what they will have to go through. It says, "The unrepentant heart is storing up wrath for themselves in the day of wrath and revelation in the judgment of God." That is for those that are unbelievers. And he will render to each one according to his works or his deed, good or evil. And his judgment is righteous and impartial. He is not a God with impartiality. He gives the same to the just and the unjust. So here we're studying, it is the time of wrath. It is the time of God's judgment. We just saw where those that were unrepentant had to come and stand before the great white throne judgment. Now, let's look at some more scripture in Matthew 10, verses 5 through 15. And here we see in 5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, 'Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals or staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. In whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greetings. If the house is worthy, give it your blessings of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessings of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed you, your words, as you go out of the house of the city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So in these verses, Jesus said that he was sending out his 12 disciples, and he was instructing them how they were to go, and they were first to go the Jews, to the city of Jerusalem, and preach. And he said, but don't go by way of the Gentiles or the Samaritans. He wants them to first preach to the lost house of Israel. And then he says that when you go out and come to the houses, don't carry gold or silver on your money belts, because what he is saying, that you as a worker for the Lord, you're worthy of his support. The one that you're going to should give him support. God will provide also. And so then he also says that those that receive him give the blessings to them. But if they don't receive them, he said, take away those blessings and shake the dirt off your feet. And those that don't receive you, then that's the ones that you're just to shake off the dust from your feet. And he said it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now then, let's look at a little bit more scripture here in the book of Mark, and verses 38 and 40. And I will read these verses quickly because we want to get to a little bit more study of what we just read in the 20th chapter. But in Mark 12, verses 38 and 40, 38 says, in his teachings, he was saying, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance sake, after long prayer, these will receive greater condemnation. So what he is saying here, Jesus is saying to the disciples that the scribes and these religious leaders who know the scriptures will receive greater condemnation because they walk around praying long prayers. And they walk around in robes, and they like to be respected when they go to the marketplaces. And they take chief seats in the synagogues and the place of honor at banquets. So they are now receiving their blessings, and they are not bringing honor and glory to God and giving him the blessings. Now, let's look back at Revelation 20. I want to go back to those verses that we read. Verse 12 through 15, it talks about judgment here in these verses. And going back then to verse 12, we see that the dead were judged, and that it was the great white throne judgment. And the sea, it said, gave up the dead, and death and Hades gave up the dead, and they were all judged according to their deeds. And then death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire, and that was the second death. And all whose names are not in the book of life are thrown into the lake of fire. So as we have studied this, it's saying those whose names were not here in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire. So we want to read some scriptures about this book of life. And we're going back to Exodus in chapter 32, verses 32 and 33. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. And if not, blot me out from your book, which you have written. The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, this was when the people had been brought out of Egypt. And then they were carried and they were in the wilderness. And then God told Moses to go up on the mountain, and he gave him the Ten Commandments. And when he came back down, they had made a golden calf, and they were worshiping it. And God said that he was ready just to destroy all of them. But Moses here, he said, if you will, forgive their sin, but if not, blot me from your book, which you have written. And so the Lord told him that whoever has sinned against me, God, I will blot him out of my book. So here we're seeing that God has a book or books that he keeps a record. And let's go on and read Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So now in this, we see that he calls it the book of life. And he said to that church, in the third chapter of Revelation, that overcomers their names would not be blotted out or erased from the book of life. And all believers we know are overcomers. And we'll be studying more about the book of life, but I want to use this scripture today so that you can see that God has books that he keeps records, and there's more than one book. So let's look now at Revelation 13:8, and see what he has written. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Now here we see that names are written before the foundation of the world in the Lamb's book of life. But those who dwell on the earth are not in it. This is before the foundation of the world. So let's look now to Revelation 17:8. It says, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. So that's what we just talked about. Those that were there on the earth, then whose names were not written, then it says they're not in it. Now let's look some more at scripture. We want to go to Revelation 21, verse 27. and nothing unclean, and no one who practice abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in the New Jerusalem. That's what it says, and nothing unclean, and no one who practice abomination and lying shall ever come into it. That means the New Jerusalem. Now, some commentaries may say that there are two books. One, the Book of Life, referring to physical life, and another called the Lamb's Book of Life, referring to eternal life. So, the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Eternal Life, has names written from the foundation of the world, and those written in it will go into the New Jerusalem. Now, names blotted out of the Book of Life would be those who die physically and are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And at the end, it will have the same names in it as the Lamb's Book of Eternal Life has in it. So there's a lot to study on the books that God keeps, the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life. And we just need to really pray and to study and to run the references and ask in prayer for God to give us the understanding of His Word, of His truths. And as we study further, remember we have one more lesson in this second part of Revelation, and then we will go to part three. And in part three, we're going to get back into all that we have studied in each chapter, and we'll get into more details about what we've studied in this overview or this preview of the Book of Revelation. So let us close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your precious word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs us and teaches us. We thank you most of all for Jesus. That was our sacrifice that redeemed us from our sins by his blood, Father. And we give you the praise and honor because we can call you Father, because Jesus took our sins. He took our place and brought us back to you, Father. Thank you that he is our kinsman redeemer and that he is seated at your right side, and he is our great high priest, interceding for us as we pray. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.